Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont, and we're in different places this time. Yuri's in the paddock in Barcelona, I'm here in Isle of Man for the TT, but we are going to be discussing the Catalan Grand Prix, which was, I think it's fair to say, Yuri, a controversial race. Really, we will talk about Fabio Quartararo and his race in a minute, but really the big talking point that has come out of today has been the accident at Turn 1 at the start, triggered by Takaki Nakagami, which took out Francesco Bagnaia and Alex Rins, and a lot of riders angry at Nakagami, but more so they are angry at the decision by race direction not to, to give him a penalty, and this has sparked a real debate around the race direction in general.
Yeah, I think again we have another race where race direction has a main role, unfortunately. In that case, everybody. Most of the people here in the paddock of Montmeló believe that they made again the wrong decision by not imposing any, by not giving any penalty to Taka. Everybody agrees that they didn't even allow Suzuki to make an appeal, so it's all very strange here. Most of the riders are pushing, they are trying, they're putting pressure, but we still need to know what's going on. And we still need to know what's going to happen, if anything can happen.
Like you say, this isn't the first time this has happened. Of course, last week at Mugello, there was an incident involving Taka and Rins, which Nakagami wasn't penalised for, which Rins at the time wasn't happy with. That incident did come up in the Rider Safety Commission on Friday in Barcelona, and there was a bit of a split decision, but Alex Rins said in his debrief afterwards that the conversation then turned to the consistency of the stewards, the way that they handle incidents in general. And we've seen this for the past couple of years. You know, this is not a new thing, but it seems to be more so now since this stewards panel has come into existence, which is a sort of a direct result really of the whole Sepang clash between Marquez and Rossi back in 2015. And the problem seems to have been taken further by, you know, of course this is a delicate subject, but Freddie Spencer coming in as the lead steward has a lot of problems seem to have come from that, I think would be fair to say.
Yeah, that's the main worry from the riders, because they say coming from a former rider, should they be more safe in the judgment? But it's exactly the opposite. So I spoke, for example, with Lucio Cecchinello straight after the race, and he told me, we thought that when Freddy was coming into this panel as a, a director, we all thought that that was for good. But in the end, we've realized that it's even less professional than before. So Pecco today, Rins, Martin, the three guys from the podium were agreed that it's not the standards of the this kind of decisions from the race direction are not at the standards of the MotoGP championship.
I mean, Alex Rins was very strong about it. He was up front and just said this is not the level of MotoGP, and that's a very strong statement, given that this is supposed to be a body that the riders have to have trust in, because it's not just about policing incidents, and it does come down to a safety issue, really, because they need, you know, policing incidents is a safety concern, and I mean, you know, we still don't know Taka's full condition at this point, so we do wish him the best, and we can't forget that he did have a very big hit on his head when he made contact with Bagnaia's Ducati, but he was coming from 12th on the grid and was never going to make that corner in the way that he was. This is an incident that has gone unpunished, and isn't what the precedent that sets is that going forward into to other races, it is another rider can do that.
The worst thing is that for Taka is not the first time that he does this thing. So Pego was saying that apparently this rider doesn't understand where the limit is, so it's time for the stewards to make him understand in the other way, so in the hard way, which is by giving him a penalty. Apart from that, the main problem is the inconsistency of the race direction. And again, don't forget that on paper, the MotoGP riders are the ones who are told to give example to the young riders. So it's the opposite. So because race direction has been more strict, much more strict with Moto3 and Moto2 race situations and race incidents and penalties than in MotoGP. So for the good of the championship, they need to do something. They need to shake this panel and, yeah, I don't know. And also Pecco, when we ask him, what can you do? Are the riders in a position to put pressure to the championship, to the FIM, in order to change the structure? They say, look what happened in Formula One last year. So Michael Masi took a decision in which not all the teams were agree, and the governing body did take a decision to replace him. So it is possible, but you need to have the will and you have to make it.
For sure, it is possible, but what we have seen, keeping with that Formula One analogy, is that a replacement then is not necessarily going to then do the right thing. Of course, the past few races in Formula One, there have been a lot of questions raised about some of the race direction decisions there. So it's not a case of just replacing. It has to be done correct. And I think this is what the riders have called for. Alex Rins was asked about it. What they really need is, you know, with all due respect to Freddie Spencer, of course, double world champion in the 500cc class, he doesn't know what it is like to race a modern day MotoGP bike. Really, what needs to happen is they need to get someone in that role who has some sort of experience of what the modern bikes are like. You know, someone, you know, not that it would ever happen, but someone of, you know, like Cal Crutchlow, or, you know, even someone like Carol Abraham, you know, that kind of rider who does understand.
The problem is, the analogy of the things, because we always thought that by bringing Freddie Spencer in, the panel made it was like an upgrade, you know. And the problem is that in this specific situation of the one we had in Montmeló, most of the people agreed that Taka need a penalty, deserved a penalty. So it's not in this specific case. The most worrying thing is that in that case you don't even need to be a rider to know or to see that Taka needs to get a penalty. That's the most worrying thing. So Pecco said, when I saw on the screen, when I watched on the screen, no further action on Taka's incident, I was super surprised. And not only Pecco, all of us were super surprised. So you don't really need to be in that specific case to be a rider to agree that that action in particular needed sanction.
This will rumble on for the next few weeks. This will be something that will be debated when we get to Germany, for sure. Of course, this accident did have quite a big effect in the championship for Pecco Bagnaia. He is now 66 points behind Fabio. really, what I think we've seen today in this race, you know, looking at the on-track stuff, not this incident, is that Fabio is, in a sense, being handed this championship because his rivals are making, you know, too many mistakes. Bastianini crashed again. Aleix made a very big mistake by backing off in the last lap when he thought it was a finish. You know, and Fabio, a track he wasn't expecting to go well at, has come away with a victory a week after finishing second at another track he didn't think he was going to go well at. He is in a very, very strong position right now.
Yeah, he's done what he needs to do to be champion again. I mean, he's on. He made an impressive race in Montmeló, but also last week he was super, super fast and super solid in Mugello. I didn't expect him to do that race. I was expecting him to be super, super strong in Montmeló, but I was not expecting him being that fast in Mugello. So, and as you said, with Aleix making that crazy mistake in the last lap, and Pecco being involved in that crash, I think it will be difficult to stop him, because now at the moment he's really his confidence has grown a lot. It's crazy, because I spoke with him 2 days ago in a full interview that we're gonna run next week, and told me he looks completely different person than the one. Don't forget that 2 months ago he was super upset, he was super angry, he was even suggesting that leaving Yamaha was a possibility, and now he looks a young man, a completely new person. So his confidence is at its maximum, and I think he is the number one contender to the title, and it will be difficult for the others, because again we have a championship with, I mean, Aleix is the most solid one, but he needs to speed up a bit in order to fight Fabio, because Fabio, I don't see Fabio stepping out from the podium often this year.
This week of the championship has probably been maybe the most difficult phase of the season for Fabio in terms of the track layouts versus relative to the power of the Yamaha. You know, going to the next track, Sachsenring should be good. Assen is always great for the Yamaha. Silverstone is a great circuit for the Yamaha. Austria, yes, but you know, after that, it's all good tracks for the Yamaha. So the fact he's come out of this this week in the position he has, there is. It will be difficult for people like Pecco to make up the gap again. Bastianini proving again he doesn't have the consistency yet. And like you say, Aprilia needs to find a little bit more. But this has been a championship that has given a lot of confusion this year, a lot of inconsistent results. So we can't be too early in our predictions.
Yes, I agree, but not with Yamaha and not with Aprilia. The problem is that in Montmeló, Aleix made a mistake, but the Aprilia was super solid. Maybe not as fast as the Yamaha, but Aleix has been there, and he is still there. But at some point, in my opinion, we will need some low point from Fabio to make the fight alive again. Otherwise, will be very difficult, because he now is in. I haven't seen him that strong in all his career. So I think he's at his peak at the moment, and I don't see him stepping out from the podium easy this year. So next, as you said, the next coming races, Sachsenring, Assen, Silverstone, will probably define who will be in a better position. I mean, for the others, can be the last chance to try to still be alive in the fight for the title.
I agree. And of course, we came into this weekend with Fabio signing a new contract with Yamaha, which we expected. And you have to say that whatever his management were demanding in terms of salary, he's more than earned that. Of course, it's a big piece in that rider market puzzle, which is still ongoing this weekend. You know, rumours that you know, the deal between KTM and Jack Miller is close. Paolo Ciabatti has said to Spanish media and Italian media as well that Miller will be out of Ducati next year. Pictures emerged of Miguel Oliveira walking into the Gresini garage. You know, what is kind of the latest update from Barcelona?
Yeah, we all know that Jack will be in KTM next year with Brad. Yeah, we have some positive information about that. Paul Espargaró is really close to come back to KTM, in his case, in Tech 3. and also, we believe that Alex Rins can be close to Aprilia with that satellite team. Still Raúl Fernández is trying to convince Aprilia for letting him go, which is not easy. And that's pretty much it. We still have a big question mark on Alex Márquez. What's going to happen with Alex? In Montmeló, he had a really good result with the 10th place, with a huge recovery from the last place of the grid. So still some pieces on place. We are still waiting the Honda announcement with Mir on paper. So, yeah, that's pretty much how the situation is here.
Hopefully we will find out a bit more over the next few races and can actually then focus on the racing instead of all the rider market rumours. You know, of course, the final thing I think is worth mentioning is that we had news from Honda before the weekend as well that Marc Márquez has had his surgery. It was successful. And you posted a tweet that I thought was very pertinent. You said that the smile that Marc had in a picture they posted looked different. And I have to agree with you. This is a guy that looks just a little bit more like himself.
I would say that Marc in that picture looked, at least to me, a bit more relieved, because in my opinion we've seen a different person in the last few months. He was in pain, he was struggling, he was super stiff on the bike and of course not comfortable, suffering a lot. And now I think that as I asked him in Mugello when he made that exceptional special press conference when he announced that he was gonna travel to US to get the surgery done, it was like a hope. It was like a big hope for him, this surgery. On paper, apparently the surgery was really, really, really good. And here, we are starting to believe that maybe we can see him back this year, and maybe sooner than what everybody expects. I'm not saying that he's going to take any risk. Of course, he's not going to take any risk, but it all depends on the bone. But maybe we can see him racing a few races this year, which would be amazing. But the most important thing is that when he comes back, the surgery, the bone, the arm is completely healed. Then, let's see.
If we see Marc back this year, excellent. As long as we see him back next year, fit and healthy, that's the main thing. And of course, we wish Marc all the best in his recovery. On that note, Yuri, thank you very much for your time as always. I know you've got a lot going on there in Barcelona and I need to head back up to the TT paddock. So we will reconvene at another point before the German Grand Prix. If you like what you heard, you can listen to all of our other podcasts on your podcast platforms. And of course, Autosport and motorsport.com will be where you will find all the latest from the Barcelona weekend, and of course all of our coverage of the Le Mans TT as well. Until the next episode, it is a very warm goodbye.